there was some fairly interesting things happening down at Yarra over the last weeks. The council with the strong green majority was pushing to change the arrangements for the community's ability to affect developments. Can you explain to my listeners what was going on?
Well, at the moment, if somebody wants to have a development in the city of Yarra and you don't like it, you think it's too high, or you think it ignores heritage, or you think there's not enough social housing or public housing incorporated in it, you can object to that. And if six or more people object to a development application, whether it's a small one or a big one, the decision to approve that development or not is taken out of the hands of the planning officers at Yarra and put into the hand of the elected councillors. And they meet every second Wednesday in a little sort of like a judge duty meeting. We're rostered on a year in advance, three groups of three councillors, and you get one of those three groups. And it's a much more democratic process, and it's like an elected judge in a sense, and it's much easier to get a good hearing as an objector. And the locals like it, and it means that the development is less bad than it otherwise would be in the city of Yarra usually. Although I have to say, the bad guys, if they lose at this meeting, which is called a Planning Decisions Committee, can always appeal to VCAT and get it overturned. But it's a little bit harder for them to do that than if they get the approval from council in the first place. So what the current plan is to make it more difficult for residents to be able to do this. So instead of having six as the minimum number of residents to object to or to go to this judge duty meeting, you now need 15. And also all developments below a certain financial size are approved by the planning officers rather than being able, for residents to be able to kick them upstairs to the Planning Decisions Committee. So it's an attack on the democratic right of residents. It's also a weakening of the limited power, the very limited power that councillors have to affect development, which is the biggest issue in the inner city. And the developers love this. State government no doubt love this. The only people that don't like it will be the residents, and we'll get a better outcome from it. So the motion, unfortunately, was passed by 6 votes to 2. The Greens and four of them were there, with two independents voted for this, and myself and another socialist, Bridget O'Brien, voted against. So we lost that vote 6-2. But Bridget O'Brien, that councillor, my colleague, she's put in a rescind motion, which means that we have to do it again in on Tuesday week at the next council meeting. And the residents are going to turn up in even greater numbers at that meeting and trying to appeal to the councillors, in particular the Greens, not to pass a developer-friendly law to weaken democratic rights at this time at the city of Yarra. So hope we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on councils in the inner city to allow developments at the moment. The state government has actually weakened local council regulation of developments, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, the power of residents and local councils, even if those local councils are good ones, you know, to limit or to make better the development that's taking place is very limited, as you say. And I can't for the life of me understand why councillors, in particular Green councillors, would want to weaken that already weak power. What we found in our area is that the more residents are involved, the better outcome we get. So if you look at the Gas and Fuel site on the corner of Smith Street and Langston Parade, if you look at the ex-Amcor, the big Yarra Bend development where the on Heidelberg Road, Chandler Highway intersection, if you look at the old Channel 9 site, if you look at many, many jobs, big construction sites and applications around Yarra, where the residents have got involved, like those ones, we've had, for example, at the Gas and Fuel site, 20% low-cost housing incorporated into it, a school. We have open space, community facilities, protection for the banks of Yarra, all things that weren't in the original development application from the investors, from the developers. But thanks to the community being involved and being able to object and push back a bit, we got a better application so that these big developments don't end up looking like the Docklands, which are just squeeze as many units in as possible with no social services, with nothing there for the community, or the South Bank's another example. So keeping the community at bay, keeping them out of the process, is bad, not just for developers, but it's actually bad for the end product. So we should be bringing because the community live in that area. They know what they need. And if you're going to put, for example, 5,000 new people into Alphington, like we've done at the ex-Amcor site, it's entirely correct that we have a school there. It's entirely correct that we have sports facilities, open space, and so on and so forth. And they're all things that have happened on that site, on that application, thanks to the involvement of the community. So councillors should not see residents as the enemy, but as their key weapon to push back against developers and to get a better result for the community.
It is a little bit disturbing. I'm sure that many people believe that voting for the Greens was quite a positive community step.
Yeah, and they would be correct in thinking that. You go onto social media, Adam Bandt's tweets and social media stuff, it's really good. I mean, he's copying in a way in 2017 the politics of people like Jeremy Corbyn and Bernie Sanders with tax the rich and having a more equitable taxation system and a stimulus package for the economy to get people back to work, a Green New Deal, and all those things which, speaking personally as a socialist, I would sign up to any day of the week. But the lower down you go, when the one area of Australia where the Greens actually have power, which is Yarra, we've had these disturbing trends towards a pushback against the democratic rights of councillors, but also of residents. And I think it's something that needs to be looked at. I think the Greens need to have a little bit of an internal review on this, and maybe Adam needs to talk to his colleagues on this one, and hopefully they'll see the light. But in the meantime, we're going to be pushing back, and the community's going to be pushing back, and we're going to be fighting to keep the status quo, which, bad as it is better than what would happen if this motion is passed on Tuesday week.
The residents at the public housing estate in Collingwood, in Wellington Street, have been told that they're going to have some of their green space taken over by new developments, and this is a state government initiative. They're talking about how Collingwood is one of those areas that has got a very low ratio of residents to green space. Is this something that the council has any say over?
No, it's a state government initiative, but I agree with the premise of your question. It's almost like public housing tenants are the only people in Victoria that every time they get something good, they have to almost pay for it. So, for example, if you're looking at any country town or any suburb of Melbourne and the state government decide that there's such a population growth that we need a new school, well, then just build a new school. End of story. They don't say to people, if you want a new school, you've got to give us back something in return, like, for example, a local park or whatever. But with public housing tenants, the rules seem to be different. So what the state government have said is, oh, we want to build social housing. By the way, it's not public housing. It's social housing, unfortunately. But nevertheless, it's better than private housing. So everybody's popping the champagne corks. We know there's tens of thousands of Victorians suffering from rental stress, couch surfing, homeless, and fewer and fewer Australians, especially young people, can afford to buy a house. So anything the state government do, even social housing, to fix that, to help fix that, is a good thing. But then comes the sting in the tail. We're going to put it not on any of the sites that we own in the city of Yarra, for example, the police centre, which they're going to be selling anyway, on the other side of the road on Wellington Street, or any of the other sites that they have. They want to put it on the basketball court, on some of the green open space of some of the poorest, most vulnerable residents in our area, which are the Collingwood Public Housing Estate residents. And not surprisingly, they've said yes to public housing, but this is a really bad place to put it. Why put it here? It's also going to impact their parking because it's right on top of their parking spot. And even though they'll be given new parking spots after construction, that could be a couple, 2 or 3 years later. And then, I don't know what they're going to do in the meantime. Many public housing tenants have large families, really need their cars to get the kids to school, shopping and so on. And, you know, this is something that I would desperately ask the local MP, who happens to be the housing minister and the planning minister, Richard Wynne, to look at. Yes, to this social housing, literally across the road on the police centre side, or squeeze it in the new stake up and development on the gas and fuel site. But please don't take away the sport and green space of Collingwood's public housing tenants.
Well, they were also talking, the public housing tenants were also talking about initiatives that they had actually grown for themselves, like a gym as well as a theatre space, which they'd created in the car area.
And then all of a sudden, what a coincidence, the state government have announced that the car space, the underground car space, which has been used so well, as you say, by Collingwood residents, public housing residents, is now unsafe. They've pulled the safety card out in order to help stymie the opposition to the location of their initiative, of their social housing initiative, and try to undermine the residents. I just think that the state government need to sit down with resident leaders and listen to what they have to say, not some nonsense consultation that they've organised through DHSS that really is just there to tick a box. It's not really consultation, because this is it can be fixed and it should be fixed.
Well, that's a fantastic segue to the next thing I wanted to ask you about, which was the destruction of the Collingwood Community Gardens, which was also done based on a safety requirement put out by WorkSafe. But as you've pointed out, that WorkSafe doesn't actually require people to destroy things to make them safe. But there's going to be a public meeting about what's going to happen to that space on April the 8th, I think it is, Friday, April the 8th. There's obviously the community is really, really upset about what's going on there.
Absolutely. And they've got a lot of support. They've got the support of Adam Bandt, the federal member, the leader of the Greens, but he's also the local federal MP. They've got the support of me and some other councillors, at least at the City of Yarra. But more importantly than any of that, they've got the support of the overwhelming numbers of the percentage of the local community. The new committee of management, which seems to be a law unto itself, is acting in a very, very strange way. They've said that they want to change the model for that land. And if they've got that point of view, put it on the table so we can discuss it. But why does any change of model in quite a large area that they control have to necessitate literally bulldozers coming down and churning up and destroying plots that have lasted for decades, been in existence for decades at the Collingwood Children's Farm? It's a disgrace. I can't for the life of me understand why the state government have financed this destruction. We should be treasuring and nurturing inner city plots and farms. We should be saying this is a fantastic thing. It's overwhelmingly farmed by low-income people, by women, by people of colour, not exclusively, but you know, these are the victims here. Plus also animals and fauna and of course the plots themselves have been thoroughly destroyed. It's been churned up like you'd see at a demolition, like you'd see at the start of a construction site. It's disgusting.
It's quite devious, really, the devious behaviour. And I was sort of interested in the announcement that Heritage Victoria has some hold over the Collingwood Farm, Children's Farm. It wanted to change some structures and it was going to Yarra Council to discuss the issues of changing some structures on the Children's Farm. What role does Heritage Victoria have on the farm?
Well, I mean, I would hope Heritage Victoria would say that the farm itself, the plots itself, had heritage value. I mean, it's the largest inner city, or it was the largest inner city farm, not only in Melbourne, but in Australia. There's nothing like it in Sydney or Perth or Brisbane or Adelaide. And that should be protected just as much as we protect some building that was owned by some colonialist in the 1800s that has some immense architectural value. This is living heritage. And it's really bad that it wasn't classified as such by Heritage Victoria. But be that as it may, the application now from the Committee of Management and so on is to do some development of new buildings. That necessitates Heritage Victoria to give approval and a planning application, which is going to be processed through the City of Yarra. We'll see what happens with that when that starts. But that goes to the heart of what the plotters have been saying, that it's not just about them. It's about the whole area potentially being changed and developed and turned into a drop-in centre for rich and rich inner-city people, rather than the urban farming and the plots that have existed for so many years. And this is just it's been predicted actually by the plotters for many months now.
Oh, it's just sort of fairly disgraceful, isn't it? I mean, in the day, you could rent a reasonable place in this whole area, but now it's really becoming the bastion of the incredibly wealthy.
Yeah, that's right. And But I don't want to end this interview with doom and gloom. I mean, we have had some big wins, and the common denominator of all of those wins, going all the way back to the East West Tunnel campaign, but all the wins we've had since then in Yarra on a whole range of issues, have all come when locals have fired up, got organised, written their petitions, organised the public meetings, lobbied the councillors, turned up to the meetings, organised sometimes protests and rallies. It hasn't guaranteed victory in every occasion, as we've seen with the plotters at the farm, but it definitely exponentially increases the chances of success. And I think that's the lesson of that, that Twitter, you know, TikTok, Instagram, it's marvelous. It's a huge, it's a really important auxiliary to fighting back against the bad guys. But that alone is not politics. Politics is organizing, and politics is not just agitation and education, but it's also organizing. And that's what I think is really, really important lesson to learn from all these issues, as you say, that are going down in Yarra, but in fact all over Melbourne at the present moment in time.
Thanks for talking to me.
Thanks, Annie.